I'm a real deal. I'll shoot your liver out and hand it to you.
Welcome back to another episode of the Cue It Up podcast. For the third time joining us, Chris Santana. You seem to be a regular.
Hey, how you doing, Nate?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm quarantined, but I'm doing great. I have some cool stuff to talk about.
Yeah, for sure. So we're bringing on Chris again because he is going to be launching a new kind of fun, if you have access to a pool table, challenge for, I guess, just having fun and playing the game and maybe winning a little bit of coin too. So you are going to be launching the Fast and Loose $100 Challenge Rack.
Yeah. Yeah. I've done quite a few of these. Well, obviously this is number 10. It's been a while since I put one out. I think it's probably been, I want to say at least a year and a half. No real reason for that. Just got caught up with my regular work. And I know that people are quarantined and, you know, people are looking for ways to have fun, even though they can't play with a partner. I see a lot of guys doing ghost ball. And so I figured might as well pull out the old $100 challenge rack. And so, yeah, we partnered with you, Nate, and decided to make it a partnered with Cue It Up to figure out if we can come up with something really cool for those that are quarantined and make a little bit of cash with the competition here. So, yeah, so Nate was able to, you know, give me an idea for this challenge rack.
So you said that this was the 10th iteration of this. What have you done in the past? A couple of maybe highlights, anything, you know, what was your initial inspiration for this? Let's just talk about some of the history of how this came about and where it's going from this point on.
Sure. Yeah, I can't remember the exact inspiration that I had. I just knew that I needed to get more viewers to my website back in the day. And I knew that I needed to engage the audience and get them excited about something. And what better way than to have a little bit of competition, which all of us pool players love, with the chance of winning some cash. So I started this, I want to say, back in around 2010 was when I started the challenge racks, I believe, somewhere around there. And the first rack that I put out was really just, I really just laid out a bunch of balls. I think I had, it was a 10 ball rack, I think. I had created a cluster or two and I said, hey, who can run this out for $100? Actually, the first person to win it was Daniel Bush of POV Pool. And it sort of took off from there. I did a few that year, and then it sort of trickled down. It all really depended on when I had the time to put one out and offer $100. A couple of years ago, or one of the last ones that I did, it was for $300, but that one was, it was brutal. I'll eventually have all of them backed up on my website so you can take a look at the history of it, but it sort of progressed from just being a quick challenge rack to more drill based. So I was, and I'm not really a guy that does drills. So I would, you know, collaborate with a few other people, ask them about some ideas they had for drills. Seen a lot of videos from some of the pros of the kinds of drills that they were doing. And I curated a couple that were really tough, some that were a little bit on the easier side, a little bit more appealing to the masses. And I've sort of found a happy medium between something that's really, really difficult to pretty difficult, but definitely doable and definitely worth a try for $100. So I usually try to do it one of two ways. Some of them in the past have been who can do it first. So basically, if there was a drill to run, let's say 10 balls, and there was one particular case where there were 10 balls along the rails, for instance, and you just had to run them in numerical order and all the balls were frozen to the rail, which is a typical kind of drill. And in that case, it was who could do it first and upload their video to the page. And then I realized, well, it was actually probably better to have people upload multiple videos rather than who can do it first, more like how many can you run? Who can run the most? And in those cases, it's more about having more balls on the table and who can do the most. And you'll see multiple uploads, because if you run three, but nobody has run any yet, you want to quickly upload your video to create engagement and to see who can beat your three. And then somebody else, you know, beat that with five or six and so on and so forth. And so that's the approach that you and I had talked about for this challenge rack. And so on this rack, it's pretty simple. It's spot shots. Now, spot shots, I think, is really interesting because it's something that isn't really practiced as much as I think it used to be. I know back in the 80s, I think, is when nine ball used to be played, where you would actually spot a ball and have to shoot a spot shot if there was a scratch. Is that right? Something like that. Do you remember what that rule was?
Dude, I was born in the 90s. I'm like 7 years old.
No, well, I know that, but I'm sure you've seen videos from before your time, as I have. But
not well enough to be able to verify that or not.
Yeah, I'm sure some of your older viewers know what that used to be like. But so spot shots used to be something that I think the pros practiced a lot more, because it would come up in actual competition. Now people shoot it more as like proposition bets, and to see how good they can pot it in. So, you know, speaking with you, we decided that might be a good approach for this one. Also, it's got a little bit of a quarantine kind of theme. Like, so the object of this challenge is to see who can run the most spot shots. Now, you're going to start with ball in hand in the kitchen or in the quarantine zone, as you'll see that it'll be called online. You'll start from there, and then you will not take ball in hand again. You will just shoot your spot shots and play position back into the quarantine zone, also known as the kitchen. And I think we're going to see some really awesome runouts and some crazy shots, even for those that end up missing or scratching or coming just short of position back in the quarantine. I think we're going to see some really awesome videos. And so, as I mentioned, this is about who can run the most within the time frame. So I'm actually giving your audience, the Cue It Up audience, however far reaching that might be through, you know, this podcast and also through your page, I'm going to give your audience a head start. So they'll be able to get this started now, and the rest of the world will not see this promoted through myself or through my page until April 1st. So you guys have basically a 3-day head start on everybody else. I'm sure others will see it once your viewers start posting their own videos. And we just want to see who can run the most balls. So all the rules are listed on the website at fastandloosedesigns.com. You'll be able to see up on there the challenge rack. You'll see it. And once you get there, you can read all the rules. There's even a couple of tables laid out that show you exactly how you need to lay out your setup. You have to be filmed, obviously, continuous film. It'll be obvious if it's cut. I had a couple guys years ago that tried to cut their video and make it look like they ran more balls than they did. So, yeah, don't think that it's not pretty obvious as to how that works. And so you'll start with the one ball, go on to the two ball and three ball. And the reason why I did that is because I have a feeling that there's probably guys who have run balls like this, and I want to make sure that in order to be sure that it was for this particular purpose, that they shoot them in the order that I've described. I'm wondering, Nate, how many do you think, what do you think is the over under for the most balls run here?
This is really, really, really tough. This was like really popular for about a hot second, maybe 6 or 7 months ago, something like that, where everybody was posting them. And I saw some Russian girl run like 22 or something like that. I saw Chris Robinson. I think Chris Robinson ran 17.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh.
And,
okay.
So, it's hard to say. So I would expect to get somewhere between 1 and 2. You know, if I was really hitting them well, maybe I could get to 3. That's a joke, of course. No, I think, and this is a question that I'll ask you too in a second, but if this is done on a bar box, it's going to be significantly easier. I think I could probably run 10 to 15 on a bar box. On a big table, maybe 6-7 if personally.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be a pretty decent score. I think what will win this is probably maybe 13, 14, 15, somewhere in there.
13 to 15 on the 9-footer, you're saying?
Yeah, yeah, if it's on a 9-footer. And I only say that because players like Chris Robinson do listen to the podcast, or he says he listens to the podcast, so we'll see if he actually listens to the podcast. If you hear this, Chris, shout me out, and if you don't, then you don't listen to the podcast, and we're going to have a talk. But, you know, there's a couple higher, definitely some higher-tiered players that do listen to the podcast regularly that I think could run some pretty high numbers.
Yeah, and you mentioned 9-foot versus 7-foot. You can do this challenge on a 7-foot or an 8-foot table. The prize for that is $50, not $100. So I'm actually paying out both. In the past, there's always been, you know, a bit of frustration from those that were like, hey, why can't I run this on my 7-foot table? And it was always like, well, I've only got one prize fund, and we're going to stick with those that do it on a 9-foot table. And this, for this challenge, I decided to offer both prizes for both size tables because I know that people are stuck at home. And if they're stuck with a 7-foot table, they don't have the ability to drive to their local pool hall and play on a 9-foot table.
Yep, that's a good
idea.
So
I wanted to make sure that we can get as many people engaged in this as possible. And look, even if you only run five balls and the running total, the high score is like 7 or 8 balls or whatever it might be, it's still going to be really cool to see those runouts because we're going to see shots that you normally wouldn't see. And you're going to see position play and people attempting position play in a way that they normally wouldn't have. And so I think even if those of you that attempt this and only get a couple balls, it'd be really cool to see those runouts and shared on the Cue It Up page because totally, totally entertaining kind of a drill to do.
Yeah, for sure. So I'll ask a couple questions about the specifics of it. You'd given a pretty good description of it, but do all of the balls have to go into the bottom two corners? Can you bank balls if you could bank a ball and theoretically get the cue ball back into the kitchen for the next shot? Is that a legal shot? Can you theoretically go 3 rails into the opposite side pocket? For anybody who plays a lot of bank pool or maybe even like a game like golf, you'll kind of know what I'm talking about on those shots because they're very common, but... Are those shots available? That's actually
interesting. I hadn't actually considered that, but then we're no longer dealing with it as a spot shot because, as we know, spot shots are for the corner pockets. What you're talking about is just a free ball, a free shot anywhere, and the only goal is playing position in the quarantine area.
Correct.
So I think I'm going to keep this as a spot shot, but that's an interesting concept that. Maybe, you know, Challenger Act 11, and we'll get some feedback from players as to whether or not they've got some cool ideas. And like I said, I'm not a guy that sets up shots like this to practice. When I practice, I just throw the balls out for the most part. So sometimes I have a hard time coming up with drills that are challenging in the way that this kind of $100 competition. There are some drills that are just too hard. And some that are just too easy. I think one like this is just right. And so I'm definitely pretty excited to see what people can come up with. And just to be, you know, pretty clear here, even if you don't run out the most balls, we have second and third place prizes for the 9-foot table. So for second place, I'll be giving out 2 free tees to whoever gets second place, 2 tees of your choice from the entire website. And then third place, you know, Nate is going to be hooking it up with a free Cue It Up t-shirt to whoever gets third place. Now, on the 7-foot/8-foot table side, I'm only paying out first and second place. So as I mentioned, first place will be $50 and second place will be 1 free t-shirt from my website, 1 free t-shirt of your choice.
Oh, come on. We got to give a Cue It Up t-shirt for third place there, too. I'll give a t-shirt for there too. Why not?
Sounds good, man. I know that you've been you know, selling out of your shirts. So
I'm trying to. I still have way too many.
Let's do it.
I am trying to get rid of all my t-shirts so I can come up with my next t-shirt idea. But still got plenty.
Yeah, awesome. Okay. Cool. So we'll do first, second, third on both tiers. And like I said, those of you that are out there listening to the podcast, you guys have first crack at it. And the rest of the world will be able to hear about this on April 1st.
Well, I am not done asking you questions because I still have one more question about the layout. So if you make your shot and don't get your cue ball into the quarantine area or you scratch or something like that, does potting that ball count? And so basically, are we counting the amount of balls made or are we counting the amount of successful innings at the table made?
Yeah, we're counting successful shots that do not result in a foul or a miss.
Oh, I think you should change that.
Yeah,
I think you should change that, Chris. I think I'm going to push for it. I'm going to lobby. I think that if you make your shot and you don't get it into the quarantine area or you scratch, I think that should still count. I do. But you're done from there. So if you're at six and you make your ball and you come up 4 inches short of the kitchen, I think you end on seven.
Yeah, that's actually interesting because, yeah, I hadn't considered that. Because
then it rewards you for making the spot shot, which is the heart of it.
Yeah, that's actually interesting because then you might see somebody who is in really bad shape, like maybe they're on the end rail or they're almost in the jaws of the corner pocket in the quarantine. Like maybe they will.
Or maybe they're corner hooked and they kick the ball in. That'd be kind of cool.
Say it again.
Or maybe they're actually corner hooked into the corner pocket and they find a way to kick the ball in, but there's no possible way that you can get the cue ball back into the kitchen from kicking a ball in pretty much. So.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying is that's interesting because they may just accept the fact that, look, my run is over, but why don't I try and at least get this last point? So yeah, I think let's implement that rule. I'll go ahead and update my rules. By the time this hits your fan base, the rules will all be updated on there. So that's a really cool suggestion that I hadn't thought of. We'll see somebody who's on their last possible inning actually attempt a good shot and just give up on position so that they can actually get that last point. And that's a cool rule that I like.
And it's a good potential tiebreaker too.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. So, you know, it would be actually even more interesting is if we do get a tie, I'd like to have a, you know, sort of a shoot-off.
A live shoot-off.
If we could ever do a live shoot-off, that would be interesting. I don't know if that's doable.
I know how to do it. I can make that happen. If we get two people that are tied, I can, as long as they have access to their pool tables at around the same time, I can do a live shoot-off between the two of them, and we'll give them maybe, I think it'd be fun to give them 20 to 30 minutes, and then they could just... They just shoot shots back and forth and back and forth, and we'll have a neutral scorekeeper keeping track of their high runs. And by the end of 30 minutes, whoever ran the most balls in a row, so not just the most balls in total, but the most balls in a row, would be the winner. So if somebody ran a seven in that time and one of them ran an eight, I think the eight wins.
Yeah, that's a really cool concept. Yeah, we'd have to almost hope that we get a tie, but that might happen for a tie for second place and maybe not a tie for first place. So yeah, when we get there, that's an interesting thing to consider. We'll have to see what players end up with and then we can come up with a game plan from there.
Yeah. And how much fun would it be if there was like four people tied for first? Oh my goodness. I could still make that work, but it'd be a little bit more hectic. I might need some help out of somebody to keep track of scores.
Oh man, we'll end up giving Matchroom Sport a run for their money with that kind of stream, dude.
Oh yeah, we'll probably have like between 12 and 13 viewers of that. That would be crazy.
we're talking about breaking world records, but
no, I think that's a fun concept and it's a fun idea. And so we had spoken before this. Obviously, we speak all the time, but this is something that you want to do towards the future, not just right now. I mean, this is kind of like a revamping and a relaunching of the $100 challenges that you hope to do a lot more of in the future with the Cue It Up listeners getting first crack and first opportunities and, you know, extra bonuses for doing these different drills, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I really wish that I had put out more of these in the past, but the past is in the past. Let's look forward, and I'll try and put one of these out at least every month, if not every every month. I think would be a good way to do these, especially while everybody is still in quarantine in their garage with their pool table. So I think, and I'd love to hear people's suggestions about some cool new drills, because I have a hard time coming up with some creative stuff. I know that you have more experience doing drills as part of your practice routine. So
anybody
out there that has some cool ideas, reach out to Nate or to myself, and we'll consider them and throw them in the hat.
I'm actually with you. I kind of just go up there and break the balls and shoot. I don't do a lot of drills, and I don't really practice
much.
And no, almost none at all. The only drill that I really do consistently is it's not really even a drill. I just put a cue ball hanging in the jaws of a corner pocket. I put a ball in the exact epicenter of the table, and I just shoot different variations of that shot into the corner. So basically on a 10-foot table, it's like an 11-foot straight in shot that I'll fire and try to draw back into the corner pocket, or I'll hit it pocket speed, or I'll just fire it in and just shoot it normally, or I will try to follow the cue ball in after the ball. Basically, I'm just doing variations of an 11-foot straight in shot, and that really just, for me personally, that really just gets my arm moving in a good way. And I know any hitches, because I have immediate feedback whether I'm missing to the left or to the right of the pocket, and that's the only drill that I really do consistently.
Yeah, that's more drills than I ever do. And I have players that'll ask me, you know, how come you don't do drills? Why don't you set up shots? Well, I'm not in this to become a pro or to get really that much better. For me, the most important thing is having fun. And I have a lot of fun when I just throw the balls out, try to run out, or I play the ghost. I don't play the ghost as often as I should. But throwing the balls out for me is almost as, it's almost as productive for my game as playing the ghost.
Yeah. So I guess this, for full disclosure, it is March 29th at 3:11 Central Time. So I hope to have this podcast out somewhere between 5 and 6, maybe a little bit sooner if all goes well. And then the listeners of the podcast will be able to access it. Although I did release one with Carl Boyce today too, so probably not a lot of people are going to be able to get to this as soon as possible, but maybe I'll put some I'll put a stamp that says time sensitive or something like that. So maybe people will access it a little bit sooner.
Yeah. Those listeners that tune in are going to be the ones that have the advantage. Anybody that is actually tuning into your podcast on a regular basis, they'll have the head start. So once it hits on April 1st, it'll be everybody trying it. And I really look forward to seeing some really cool runouts. So good luck, everybody, and let me see some cool videos.
Yeah, for sure. So other than that, I guess that's pretty much all we have to discuss. Anybody who wants to try this out and you have access to a pool table, by all means, try it out. I know that I will try it. I got a buddy's house that I go to usually once or twice a week, and it's just usually me and him and his wife and maybe one or two other people that'll show up and just play some Scotch doubles action or something. But I will show up and I will try to do this, and I will film myself doing it, and I will upload it as well. So I will partake in this. It's just whether or not it's going to be anytime soon.
Sounds good. Yeah. And Nate will, you'll drop the link into the podcast post so anybody can check it out.
Yes. I will make it convenient for everybody to find and to get more information on it. So other than that, Chris, thank you for joining me, and thank you for doing this for exclusive content for the queued up listeners, or at least early release for the queued up listeners.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for coming to my party. Now that we're all wrapped, bro, it's time to go home.
Hey everyone, thanks again for listening. If you like what you've heard and you listen through iTunes, please subscribe and leave a rating. It helps others find the podcast. As always, thank you to our sponsors, Jacoby Custom Cues, Cody's Q Therapy, Jeff Glaz's CBD for Life Global, the Wisconsin Billiards Hall of Fame, The Rocks Sports Bar and Grill, the IQ Practice Cue Ball, and the Wisconsin Pool Player Society. If you like what you hear, consider supporting the people who support the podcast. I would also like to take this time to thank Matt Kitzman, Robert Miller, Natasha, Kurt Elliott, Scott Doolian, Corey Smith, William Sutherland, and Mike Teasy for their help to market the podcast to a larger audience. Lastly, I would like to thank my cousin Andrew Mindham for his band Hey Captain Knight's music as segment and filler music to the podcast. If you like what you hear, you can find all of his music at heycaptainknight.bandcamp.com. And Knight is K-N-I-G-H-T.